I wanted to teach us not to trust human beings, but to trust God. Also, a very interesting point when we're talking about sacrifices is that you're not allowed to sacrifice yeast and honey.
Yeast
and honey. Se'or. Chomet. What is chomet? What makes the yeast?
The rises.
Shmarim. Se'or it's called. You're not allowed to bring.
Yeast and honey?
Yes.
Why honey?
Oh, I waited for the question.
Why yeast? Why honey?
Yeast is Yetzer Hara. Yeah. Because yeast grows like its pride, its thing. We can understand it. But honey?
Honey?
And nevertheless, you have to bring every sacrifice with salt.
Yes.
Salt.
Honey, no. Salt, yes. Strange. So let's understand, what honey, do we know what honey we're talking about?
There is a Mishnah, because why salt?
We'll get to the salt in a minute, but before we want to talk about the honey.
Date honey.
Fruits honey. Now, in what stage... In what stage do we get the honey from the fruit?
When you smash.
What stage of the fruit?
Is it right?
When it's almost...
Rotten. So you don't bring a sacrifice that symbol rotten. And by the way, you take the letter korban, rikavon.
Rikavon is
rot.
Ah, the rot. Same thing.
Same letters. That's what I say. The korban has to mean something. So you don't bring the korban. Something that is symboling of end of something and rot. So you're not allowed to bring honey. Salt from the other side.
But the other side, yeast is something that grows.
Yeah. Grows, but it's not a real thing. See, you put something like this.
It becomes, you know, like...
And it grows like this. Yeah. And then another, if we're already talking about it, a matzah, you can have for a whole year. You can still eat it. What? Bread, matzah.
Okay.
You can have for the whole year.
You cannot eat one day before Pesach.
No, I'm talking about if you store it.
You can eat.
Some people say a week before, no? Before
yes,
before.
There's something for the beginning of the month.
It's to feel
the taste of the matzah.
Now,
it's not a halacha. It's a minhag.
It's a
minhag. So you could come to Leila Seder and you will want to eat the matzah.
I'm not talking about buying matzah. I'm talking about if you store it.
So if you store the matzah...
It does not taste good.
No, I don't know.
I eat all the year.
I don't know.
It's all the year.
No.
We used to eat it all the year, but it's hard to get.
Yes.
When we first started the shul, we had an affair, and they wouldn't let you even boil eggs in your house, only in the shul.
So we were trying to cook,
and the thing didn't boil, and it kept it, whatever. And we were starving, so we found a box of matzah that was very old. And we took it out, and it was horrible.
Yeah, but maybe it wasn't 1 year. Maybe it was 10 years. Because I know that normally after Pesach, for months on, we eat the matzah.
Because you can use it for lechem.
For lechem mishnah. Yes, exactly. By the way, there are people that do it like a tradition. They have a tradition that when they do the kiddush on Erev Shabbos, they have also a matzah.
One matzah, one challah. That's what we always
yes.
have.
Yeah. It's a minhag. It's also a minhag. But if you take bread, can you have bread? For how long can you eat bread?
The maximum.
After 2 days, you can throw it away.
Yeah. Put it in the fridge, it goes away.
I'm not. After 2 days, you can throw it away. You cannot eat it. In other words, it looks big, but it doesn't last. And now we come to the salt. Why you have to bring salt?
Salt is a preservative.
Doesn't spoil.
Salt is infinity.
You put it on meat, you make it.
Salt is infinity. Like the Brit that we have, the covenant with God for infinity. That's the idea.
So why do you put salt on your matzi?
Same idea. Al Shulchan Aruch, you have to have on your table salt all the time.
So
because the table is like the altar.
So it doesn't matter whether you do this or you do this?
No, there is a minhag that...
it's just minhagim.
It's all minhagim. There is a minhag that you put the salt on the table and you put the bread in.
And
then
another one is just
spray.
Yeah, okay, but it's minhagim. It's Kabbalah's thing. It's about, you know, the thing is, the idea behind it.
That's
the idea thing. Now, what is salt? Salt is white. Salt lasts forever. Salt preserves things, and I don't know if you, I'm sure you know, in the old times, how did they keep things? Didn't have a refrigerator. Meat. They used to salt things. Meat used to salt meat.
In the old times, salt was also a form of currency.
Even today, in Brazil.
Used for trading. For
of course, because it was for, yeah, because you need, you had salt. It was lasting forever.
If you had a salt mine, you were considered.
Yes. Salt.
It was like a form of currency.
Yeah.
If you take warm water and salt and you gargle.
In Croatia, we went to a place.
Because salt is, by the way, salt is the acid of the water.
Opposite.
No. If you boil water, you will find a white thing stayed afterward. That's salt. But salt is in the water. Yeah, it's salt.
Salt, white.
Yes.
Sodium.
Yes.
Sodium.
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
That's salt.
That's salt.
It's a kind of salt. Yes.
Yes. Sodium.
Yeah, but they have it more in Israel than you do in America.
Don't know if they're less or more, but it's salt. So
but
now we understand.
Honey also doesn't spoil.
But that's had been honey. We talked about it last week.
Honey, right.
Bee honey not only doesn't
spoil,
if something gets into it, it becomes a part of the honey.
It's a preserver.
And honey, dvash, begimatria, is, we talked about last week, is isha. Isha, begimatria, is a dvash.
Dvash?
Woman, yes.
Dalit is
woman.
Sharba.
That's why you are so sweet.
Wow.
Isha. Now, by the way, it's showing the power of women, because the power of men is to take something impure and make it pure. It's an inner power. And
the gematria is isha.
Yes, you take isha. Aleph shin hey. How much do you have? Shloshmot.
Six.
Now, and you take dvash.
Six. Three, six.
Yeah, the same thing.
Well, you take the shin is the equal, and then you have dalad, and the bet is six, or aleph and hay is six.
So, isha begimatria is a dvash.
That's why he calls you sweetie all the time.
Yes.
Not because he forgot her name.
So
not yet.
So we start to see that. So we start to see that everything that we learn, every letter, every word, got a special meaning. And we start the Sefer Ikra with a small aleph. And there's so much to learn about this small aleph. But the main thing is to understand and realize what's the whole idea of sacrifice. By the way, the whole argument between the Rambam and the Ramban, if when the Holy Temple Bezalel Shem will be built, Rabbi Ameinu Amen.
Amen.
Are there going to be animal sacrifices or not? Now, what is the discussion about?
Vegans.
The discussion is about what is the idea behind the sacrifices. The Ramban says it's a very highly spiritual thing. And in other words, they're going to go on be sacrifices of animals. Now, the idea behind it, we already said, when somebody looks at the sacrifice of the animal on the altar, he has to think that what is being done to the animal had really to be done with him. So instead of him, it's the animal there. So, okay, what does it mean today? What does it mean today to us? There are no sacrifices, but there are sacrifices. Sacrifice means whatever I do to get closer to God, whatever I'm willing to do to get closer to God. Now, if I love God, if I love somebody, I don't do things just because I have to do them. I don't bring a sacrifice because I have to bring a sacrifice.
Because you want to.
Because I want to bring it. For example, when you go to daven, you go to shul, that's instead of a sacrifice. One of the things that filot can get at midim tiknum. Now, when you bring a sacrifice, when you daven, how do you do it? Do you do it with all your heart? Huh. Or you just do it because you have to do it?
Most people do it by rote.
And that's why, that's things that we have to change. Those are the things where we are being tested.
It becomes...
Exactly. That's what. That's by the way, we're talking about korbanot. Some of them you bring every day. Korban HaTamid, for example, is every day that you bring morning and evening, morning and evening, morning and evening, every day. We will see it next week about Tzav. When it's about... You have to tell him to do it in a proper way. And what is behind it? Because behind it is, if you are getting used to things, you do them like, okay, there is no heart in it.
It hasn't got a tongue anymore.
The reach, it's not the reach nichoach. When is it reach nichoach? Now, another interesting thing in our parsha, and this will end this lesson today, is when we talk about the sacrifice, we will find out there are certain people that bring different sacrifices on the same sin or the same thing.
Because he's
some bring an ox, some bring sheep, some bring birds, and some bring even how do you say solid? Solid.
Solid is like a flower.
Yes,
flower,
not flower. Like
a grain.
What the dice? What do you call it? Porridge. What do you call the porridge? The thing for when you do the porridge.
Isn't it corn?
Cereal. What do you call it?
Corn.
Okay, never mind. But we all understand that it's costing much less than others. Now, the point is that in each one of those sacrifices, there is reach nichoach laHashem, and there is a big lesson here. If you have money and you can bring an ox, you have to bring an ox. So the poor guy looks at the guy bringing the ox and thinking to himself, you see, his sacrifice is going to be really reach nichoach. God is going to love the smell of this sacrifice. Me, I'm bringing this solid or those two birds. God giving it to me. Okay, I bring a sacrifice, but it's not the same as the rich guy. I wish I could have bring the sacrifice like the rich guy. Sometimes we have a stingy guy, he's rich, he says, why should I bring an ox? Since this guy brings brings a bird, and I also bring a bird. So the Torah is telling us, if you have the ability to bring an ox, you bring an ox. And if you bring something less, it's not reach nichoach. You cannot bring it. From the other side, if you have the ability to bring only solid, you bring solid, and for in God's eyes, it's the same as you brought the ox. Reach nichoach. There's whole discussion, what happens if somebody had money when he had to bring the sacrifice, and then he hasn't got the money? Or what does it mean if he's got enough to bring an ox? Or... Is it mean that he has money only for the ox, or if he needs the ox for to survive?
Must he do it?
So must he bring the ox to sacrifice? Yeah. No, of course not.
So who's the judge?
You.
He.
You're the judge, of course. Of course. They're not going to ask you, bring us a balance sheet of what the prophet did you this year. You come to the Beit HaMikdash with your sacrifice.
But why do people look and see what you do? That's the problem also.
That's life. There are certain sacrifices that when you bring them, everybody knows what you did. That you sinned. Mm-hmm. There is different between Chatat and Shlamim. Now, what's the idea behind it? That's a part of the tshuva. You know, you sin, you bring. That's the idea. You have to. Why do you bring a sacrifice? In order to make things right. So the part of making things right is sometimes, yes, you come to the temple and you bring the sacrifice. I sinned. But that's a part of it.
Can you bring solat if you're vegetarian?
But what a sacrifice is now, we don't have.
Today, what sacrifice is, it's davening, it's daka, it's whatever you sacrifice on yourself. The idea of a sacrifice is what makes me close to God. So sacrifice for myself. What do I sacrifice? For example, I wake up early in the morning to do something good for God. Or I try harder to do charity. And now we're singing from Pesach. We have Kimcha de Pesach. We have to help the poor. You cannot sit on the Seder night with a whole beautiful table and on the other side of town there is somebody who hasn't got the money to put anything on the table. You have to make sure that you're not the only one who sits and enjoys the Yontif. You have to make sure that also the poor have. So how do you do this? So for example, here we have a lot of... You can give money and you can also help with delivery.
Mm-hmm.
They're asking now people to help with delivery. Everybody can help. And that's the real charity. And that's how we're being tested.
Today these two guys knocked on my door. Yeshiva boys, I guess, I don't know. I said, they need money to feed their families. I said, do you work? They said, yeah, we do. So I said, so why are you going around asking for money? Well, the times are tough. I said, they're tough for me too. But then I remembered my father said, if anybody puts out their hand, you got to fill it. So I gave them anyway.
I'll tell you,
in Masechet Brachot, yes, the day we are studying, we have a discussion because it's written that Rabbi Eliezer, I think, said that tefillah is more elevated than korban.
I would agree.
I will tell you something else.
And I don't understand how it's possible.
I'll tell you something else. We say in the beginning of the tefillah korbanot.
Yeah.
Yes. When you say the korbanot and you understand what you're saying, you are sacrificing. You bring a sacrifice.
Yes, I know.
So in other words, we have a privilege that you don't have. Because when Beit HaMikdash is going to be, you can bring sacrifices and you can do the job. I cannot do the job. But now I can. Do you understand what I mean? I can do today things that when the temple is going to be, I cannot do them. Because I'm not a Kohen.
Because you're not a what?
A coin. I'm not a coin. He is a coin.
He
is a coin. Yes, he is a coin. He can. He will do the job. Today, I can also do the job. If I learn the korbanot, I do the job. Now, what is tefillah?
But is it, isn't it doing more than you're supposed to do? That's also not good.
What do you mean?
Doing the duties that a Kohen does.
That's exactly the privilege you have today, because you're not really doing the job of the Kohen, but you can learn. And when you learn, you are doing the job of the Kohen, which in the Beit HaMikdash is going to be built, Be'emera Bi'Ameinu Amen. You cannot do it. There are a lot of things like, what is the idea? The tefillot bimkom korbanot. What is the idea?
In place of until
we've got... It's not only that's the discussion between the Ramban and the Ramban.
Yes, what is it? One say that it will be korbanot and the other say it will be...
No, because you don't need the korbanot anymore, because it was when they used to worship idols that you need the korbanot. Today you don't need the korbanot. That's the Ramban.
That's the thing that bothers.
The Ramban.
Is that it was meant to give them something... It's place of being...
That's Ramban. But the Ramban doesn't agree with this.
Well, I like
but
the
if
Ramban.
We stop saying it in our
Ramban
people
is...
forget.
Why
animals? That's why we keep it on for the time.
Ramban is the Nahman.
Yeah, that's what we learn it. That's what we learn. You see, I want to tell you something. You have to understand, when we're talking about all the physical things we're talking about, they've got no meaning without the inner part. In other words, the physical world without the spiritual world doesn't exist. It's nothing. It's just like you wear a shirt. The shirt doesn't move by itself. You're moving the shirt. That's this world. This world is only a cloth of the neshama. In other words, when we're talking about sacrifices, we can have a whole discussion. Animals, no animals, but the real truth is that it's much deeper than what we're talking about. It's not the idea of an animal or not animal, it's the idea of what is behind it. If this is a virtual world, let's assume that that's not a real world. So who cares if you're going to put a sacrifice on an animal or not? It doesn't really exist, only in our mind. I know it's very complicated, it's not simple, but when you learn Kabbalah and you understand and realize that the whole idea of this world is not this, it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. It exists in our mind. It's very hard to understand, I'm saying, but that's the idea. What we are an anshama. That's the idea.
With all the reality shows, it doesn't exist.
Exactly. Exactly. Doesn't exist. It's not a real world. We say, what is Olam HaEmet? Not this world.
So the Olam Haba is the real world.
Of course. Okay. That's the real world. This is just a passageway that we have to go through. So in other words, if somebody is doing here things, if somebody is suffering here, and the suffering is going to give him a better part in the next world.
Is it?
Of course.
The more you suffer, the better you have it next world.
No, it depends if no, it depends if it's helped you. You know, sometimes you know, people suffer and still do nothing about it. The idea is that this world, we have to work on ourselves to get to the next world. So in order to do this, God gives us tests. He puts us in certain position. That's why we cannot judge nobody. Because we don't know what's going inside the person. And we don't know what he went through in life. And sometimes somebody looks at us like, he's not such a great tzaddik. He sometimes is a greater tzaddik than us. Because what he went through in life, we didn't went through. We don't know what it's all about.
But what happens if a child gets a child of 3 years old who gets a tumor in his brain? Wow.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. If you believe that this world is only a passageway, and this kid you're talking about is not going to heaven, is it good or bad?
Oh, for him it's good.
That's a good idea. I know it's hard to understand. It's hard to put it in our system. But if we put it, you know what? Don't digest it to the end. But put it in your mind that this world is not a real world. Okay, we are here. We're living in it. And we feel that it is real.
Like Matrix.
It's real.
Exactly. Exactly the thing. You know, somebody told me that the people who did Matrix, they knew about Kabbalah and things.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
There is this film Matrix.
Movie. Matrix.
Matrix.
That's the idea.
From Kabbalah. Yeah. You study Kabbalah?
A little. No, I'm not.
He's still too young.
He's too young.
No, today they say you can learn Kabbalah. It's not Kabbalah. What is Kabbalah? You're going into you don't even know what it is. No, there is the Zohar, there is Eser Sfirot, there is so many things.
Okay, I begin to write your name with a small aleph, God.
He has no aleph.
Well, you put an aleph, no, between the Gimel and Dalet, you put the aleph, God.
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 God. God.
But we have
this saying
that you have to be very careful with people because God is very forgiving, but people are not.
Yes. We are doing a lot of things. The thing is that we, as believers, we know that there is a purpose for everything. And the minute we understand and realize that we're just here on a passageway, first of all, it's much easier for us to understand certain things. It's easier for us to go. And we have to understand and realize that people who, when we look at them, they look like they suffer. Rabbi Akiva, they were combing his flesh with an iron comb. Like, really tearing his flesh out of him. And he was enjoying it. What is a masochist? No. He was not here. The body is nothing if you can purify yourself to a level that you're so high that you don't feel. Eliyahu HaNavi went up with his whole body. In other words, how did he do this? Because he really got to a level that his body become a part of the neshama. Like they were so together, he had a full control on his body. But that's...
So then my sister's very ill. She's got cancer. She's dying of cancer. Must she be pleased that she's got it?
Now not. When she gets to the next world, she will understand.
The cook.
Oh, that's
right. Yes. Of course. That's our belief.
Yeah,
we don't live for this world, people. We live for the next world. If somebody lives for this world is nothing. It goes like this. Look in Kohelet, Shlomo HaMelech. Yeah, you suffer, you're this and that. That's life. That's why we're here. We're here for the next world. And we have to put it in our mind all the time.
So if you have a good life without any suffering, you're not going to have a good life in Olam Haba?
Everybody's got suffering. No, it depends on what level. As we said in the beginning, if somebody is used to ride on a horse and people running with the horse in front of him, if he hasn't got it, he's suffering.
But
I took my kids, years ago, I took my kids to a fancy restaurant and they had a duck with, what was it?
Orange sauce?
Ananas and orange and whatever. They couldn't eat it. Too rich, too sweet. Well, this is the book. And we take this guy who is very, how do you say it? Anintam. How do you say anintam?
He's very elegant. No.
Not elegant, so. He's very fine in his with his taste, fancy taste. And you take him to a worker restaurant and they give him a schnitzel like dripping with oil that maybe was used for two or three days. After he finished this schnitzel, he will go to hospital. And on the other side of the table, this worker is sitting there and eating three schnitzels, enjoying it, and he's very healthy. That's what it is. So we don't judge people. We don't know what they're going through. Bezrat Hashem, we have to listen to the voice of God. The small Aleph, we have to make it big. How do we make it big? When we understand what we're missing. And if we understand what we're missing, then we start listening to God. And we will hear the voice of God. And everybody needs a level. We're not saints, but we have to try.
But meantime, the Aleph is katan, shikuyar tzanur. If we make bigger the Aleph, we'll not anymore be tzanua.
No, you have to see the Aleph. Do you see the Aleph?
Mm-hmm. I see that's, the Aleph.
So you listen to God. If you don't see the Aleph, you don't listen to God.
Humble.
As I said, Rav Yitzchak Bernstein Zatzal said, the accessories of last year are the necessities of this year. When he said it, he meant that it's not a good thing. But if you take it to the other side, it can also be a good thing. If we're talking about Torah, you make the Torah your necessities. Today you look at it as accessories. I don't need it. Nahon? Don't need it. It's far away from me. But when I take it to me and taste it, and it becomes necessity, that's what I have to do. Then I hear the voice of God. Then the small Aleph becomes big, from the point of view of listening. But I still have to be humble. Nothing to do with that.
That's right.
As I said, there are a lot of explanations with the Aleph.
If you listen,
all the best.